emergency comes his way, tries to say those things that, God would have him to say, and we just tell him to preach what the Lord gives him, and that'll be his part. As long as we try to do what God gives us to do, say the things that God gives us to say, then the Lord will be pleased, and we'll be blessed. So, that's right.
Good to be here this evening. Appreciate this opportunity, and I want to thank the church here at Faith for allowing us to come this way once again. Been a number of years since I preached here. Brother Forshee was pastor then. I don't really know how many years ago that's been, but it seemed like it's been a while. We're thankful to be able to come back once again, and as Brother Barry said, I certainly ask you to pray for me as we try to stand for a little while, when you can, remember some of our new design. Been trying to pastor that church. I've been up there since April, and been having a real good time up there. I just enjoy every Sunday we get to go, and Lord been saving, and people been joining the church, and been real good to be up there. But y'all remember us as we go that way from time to time. We'll certainly do our best to remember y'all down here. But I do want to say appreciate this opportunity to come this way. I just looking through the song book a moment ago, and there's a song that I really like a lot. Don't see it in many song books no more, but just when I saw it, it touched my heart when I sang it. It said, "When I wake up and sleep no more." I've always liked that song, and just thinking about that one day after a while, when we all, as the song, another song says, when we all get to heaven, you know, it's going to be a wonderful time to not worry about the cares of this world anymore, those that are saved. We're going to wake up in heaven one day after a while, and the cares of this life, we don't have to worry about it no more. Those of us that been called to preach, we ain't gonna have to worry about preaching no more. We ain't gonna have to pray for nobody no more. It's just gonna be joy everlasting and just praising God forevermore. I'm a man like anybody else. I have ups and downs in life, and there's times comes along in my life, and sometimes you're just ready to go on. But God has a work for us all to do. I'm a firm believer in that. As long as He's left a breath in us, there's something for us to do. Our work ain't done. When He sees our work is done, I'm satisfied He'll call us on home and get us out of the way. And then when His work as a whole is finished, the Lord will come back on that cloud, and the angel will call, say, "Time no more." But until that time comes, there's work to do. There's a world full of lost people out there. And I guess in saying all that, I hadn't planned on saying all that, but that sort of goes along with my thought tonight. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, I've got a couple of different places at least plan on reading from tonight. It's where the thoughts that the Lord gave us this evening as we're trying to study. So I'll begin in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Nothing new is, I'm sure, familiar to most of us, but these are the thoughts that we have, so we're going to do our best to carry out our thoughts tonight. But in verse 1 of that chapter, Paul, doing the writing, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all holiness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when the He ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I believe we'll stop reading right there for now. And like I said, I'm sure we've all heard this and read these scriptures many different times. But I just want us to think about tonight, and one of my main thoughts tonight is about a call that God gives us all. And I believe there's a calling, at least a certain degree, to everybody that ever lives in this world. And I want to get to that. So don't discount what I said right off the bat, I know. But anyway, I do want to look at the children of God first. Like I said, I believe a moment ago I said, and I believe that there's something for us all to do. Everybody that's ever been saved, I think there's something that we need to do, and it's up to us, I believe, to pray to God to find our place in His service. And I know when an individual is first saved, I don't care if they're a young child, a teenager, in their 20s, or all the way up to their 80s or 90s, whenever it is, when we very first get saved, at whatever age it is, we're a babe in Christ, and we just begin learning about the Lord. And it's a learning process, and it always is. I don't care if somebody gets saved at a very young age and live to be 100, they're still learning all through their life. Nobody will ever know it all on this side. I say this quite often. I believe when we get over there in heaven to the other side, we'll know all we want to know. But on this side, we're always learning. But as we go through life and become a young Christian and start growing, we soon learn that we have a job to do, or I hope we learn that anyway. He said to the church there at Ephesus, he said, I beseech you, or in other words, I beg you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And a vocation is a job, pretty much. That's what it is. And he is admonishing the church there to walk worthy of that call. And it's a calling from God, not from man. And I'll say this, not trying to be funny, but I want to say this in a truthful way. You see, the world that don't know the Lord, they don't understand what a calling from God is. Because they never experienced it. They don't know God. And so when I was dating Stacy, I wasn't saved at the time. I didn't get saved until we'd been dating probably a year and a half or so. But anyway, while we was dating was when her brother, Kerry Kemp, y'all know him, I believe he's helping in the revival down here. But he's my brother and all, but anyway, or maybe he's preached down here. I know that. He may not have a Bible. I know he's preached, but I believe y'all know him. But anyway, while we was dating, was when he got called to preach. And I was with him, and Stacy was over at their house just hanging around. And Carrie and Tanya came in, and he told all of them. He said, I've been called to preach. And, well, they was all crying and just shouting and having a good big old time. And I didn't know what in the world was going on. And this is the way that a lost person thinks, or at least this is the way I thought. I didn't know nothing about church or anything like that, certainly about any calling. But the only thing that was running through my mind was that a bunch of men gathered around and thought he would be a good preacher, so they called him up and told him. And that's what somebody that don't know the Spirit goes through their minds. You see, I didn't understand. And so much of the world don't understand what a calling from God is. But it is he told them to walk worthy of their calling. And as we read in the scriptures there, he talks about the body and some other scripture I want to get to in a minute talks about the members of the body and how there's different members and they all have different functions. But he told them, he talked about it as a gift. He said, if I can find it right quick, but we read it in your hearing just a moment ago, but he said, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he goes on down and talks about he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and so on. But we need to find our calling, whatever it is, and realize that God saw fit that we're able to accomplish that job. And because the Bible teaches us that he's not going to put more on us than we can bear. You know, when I got saved in 91 and I was called to preach in 2000, and I'm sure these other preachers may know what I'm talking about, but the first thing came to my mind was, Lord, why me? You know, anybody that's known me very much through my life knows I've always been quiet and shy and would take zeros in school on book reports just because I didn't want to get up in front of people. But, you know, that's the way I was. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this. But, you know, I soon realized I was going to have to or pay a hefty price. So I submitted myself to God and, you know, told the Lord I'd try, I'd do my best. And 10 years later, I'm still trying. And I try every time I get up, and I know I fail from time to time, but I still try. And that's something I want us to all understand tonight. Young and old alike, whatever your calling is, all you can do is try your best at it. And I believe that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to give our best effort, and when we do that, he takes over from there and goes the rest of the way with whatever it is. But there's, like I said, I believe there's different calls that he gives his people. And one scripture I want to look at to begin to go on with is, to start off from here on out, is John chapter 10, where he says in a couple of different scriptures in verse 4, Jesus says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then over in the same chapter, verse 27, I believe it is, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So having read that, those of us that are saved, we know the voice of God. And when we know the voice of our parents, as we was young and our parents would call us to do something, we know that. We know we couldn't ignore that because we know that's mom, we know that's dad. We know the consequences of not obeying our parents or whoever it was that raised us. And we know that they want us to do something. And it's the same. Being children of God, we know the voice of God. And when he commands us to do something or leads us in a certain direction, we know that. Sometimes we fight. Sometimes we run. You know, I run from my call to preach for just a week. For me, it was the longest week of my life, I tell you it was. And I know there's some preachers that ran from their calling for years. And I don't know how they survived that long, but I thought I was going to die in just a few days, but I finally surrendered. But you see, we all, many times, we'll all run from, and it's not just preaching. Sometimes God will get on you or me or anybody in just a regular church service and put knock on that heart and want you to testify or want you to request a song or maybe sing a song yourself or whatever it is. That's a job from God. It may be just a temporary thing for this one moment in time, but still it's a job that God has given us to do, and we run from it. We'll say, I'll wait till the brother gets done preaching, or I'll wait till this happens or that happens, and we run from it. We try to put it off, and that's nothing but Satan getting in there and telling us that we need to put it off. But we're not capable of that, or we're not worthy of that, or when I first got saved, Brother Otis Jones was our pastor, and I'm satisfied the Lord was in it, but it seemed like every week that man picked on me to dismiss every week, and I hated that. I didn't like it one bit, and it was no more than the devil getting on me. But the thoughts kept running through my head, well, Brother so-and-so up there, he can put words together, and he can talk so pretty, and this one over here can, this, you know, they can make good talks, and I didn't want to do that. And I got out of church for a while because of it. But you see, and when the Lord would knock on my heart to testify, many times I wouldn't do it. Because same thing, boy, them up there can make pretty talks, but I can't. But that ain't got nothing in the world to do about it, how pretty your words are. If the Spirit's in it, it's going to have an effect somewhere. And so think about that. Don't worry about anybody else but God. The Bible warns us about trying to please men. And that's what most of us try to do. Or it seems like that anyway. But the Bible teaches us that we ought to fear God rather than man. And not worry about what anybody thinks about us. But worry about what God thinks. And I believe if we all do that and do our job, find our place in God's service, and I'm not just talking about in the church house, but outside those walls, we need to find our place in God's service and fulfill that and walk worthy of. Now, you know, I don't feel worthy to be called preacher of God, but God saw fit that I could do it, and once again, I tried to do it. But God saw fit that you're worthy of your call. And so I say, I read those scriptures about we know the voice of God. And in Matthew chapter 4, as Jesus is going about calling men to follow him, he tells them to follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so we know the voice of God, I believe that is our purpose in serving God, is to lead others to Christ. That is what the church is to do, we read about in the commission over there that he gave to the church there, to his followers. He said, go out into the world and preach unto them. I'm going to mess it up. I ought to know all that. But he says, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so he's told the church to go out. We even read in our hearing there, in our lesson, where he gave all of those their separate jobs. And we read that last verse, and why did he do it? He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up, is what that is. And it's all for God's honor and glory. That's why we do what we do on behalf of God. It's not to pat me on the back, or to pat you on the back, or brag on the pastor because he does such a good job. None of that matters. It's all for God's honor and glory. And that should be the sole reason why we do what we do for God. It ought to be that he gets honor and glory. When we help lead somebody to the Lord and they get saved, he gets honor and glory out of that. When somebody submits to the Lord and they come up and then join the church, he gets honor and glory out of that. When people get saved, we don't want them to brag on us. We want them to brag on God because God did the saving. We didn't do nothing except preach to them and testify and sing and warn them. But God did it. He did the saving. He's the one we need to put on the pedestal to brag on. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. He didn't say if you lift yourself up or lift man up, but that's the one that we need to brag on is the Lord. But he said, follow me. And so listen. He gives calls out, and one that I want to look at, I want to look over in the Hebrew letter in chapter 5. Now listen, he's talking to, if you read the first few verses there, he's mentioning a high priest. He's talking about priests, but as he's going down through the scriptures, he's talking about those that carry the word of God. And so I believe this goes well for the call of the preacher in verse 4. He says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God." I work down there where I work at Ross Gear in Lebanon. I have several men down there. They know I'm a preacher, and Kerry works down there. They know he's a preacher, and there's another one or two Missionary Baptist preachers down there. But there's several other men down there that I know that they went to school to be a preacher. Or they're studying to be a preacher. They're taking it upon themselves is what it is. The Bible says there that no man can do that. It's a calling from God. And I believe only men get that calling. I don't believe you'll find in the scriptures where women get that call. And I don't believe you believe that. You know, I certainly don't. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, but it is a call from God. And it's a call to men. And listen, if a man takes that calling upon himself, he's going out and trying to do a job that he wasn't called for, and I don't believe the Spirit will be behind him. Listen, you see, a lot of those men that I've even talked to at work, I don't even know if they know what the Spirit is. I don't even think they're saved. I can't tell them that, but from their actions and what they say, you know, you can add, put two and two together sometimes. I know we can't tell people they're saved and they're not, but the Bible says we can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. So the Bible don't teach that you take that calling upon yourself. It's a call from God. It says so. As was Aaron. Aaron didn't ask to be the high priest. God made him one. You see, so God calls men out to carry his word. And it's up to us as men that get that call to step forth and say, "Lord, I'll do my best," and go out into the world and preach his word. He said there, as we read in the scriptures, some are pastors, some are preachers, some are evangelists, some are teachers. Now, I believe every preacher should be a teacher. I've heard some preachers say, "Well, I'm not a teacher, this and that." Well, the Bible says you ought to be. You're supposed to. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be teaching the law about their condition. We're supposed to be teaching the saved about what the Bible says they need to be doing, and we should be teaching. But listen, some are evangelists. Some men that God call out into the work will never pastor a church. Their work may be to be a working evangelist, to go from city to city, state to state, maybe other countries, a lot like a missionary. That goes to other places, I've heard it said. I don't know that it's true, but I've heard it said. I sort of agree with it. A pastor of ours one time said that an evangelist type preacher will see a lot more saved in his work than a pastor probably ever will. And you know, I can't prove that, but you know, it sort of makes sense. They go out, and a pastor pretty much preaches to the same people a lot of most of the time. Visitors come from time to time, but evangelistic work is variable. Evangelists will probably reach people that pastors may never see. Evangelists can go out and hold tent meetings and brush yard meetings, or maybe get a meeting started in a corner store somewhere or whatever, and people will come there that won't come to a church. Evangelists have a great work. If it wasn't for evangelist work and missionaries and that type, the gospel may have never made it to America. People left the old country over there and brought it over here for religious freedom. And it filtered on down to this area and it went further around the world. But evangelistic work is very important. God may call some out to be pastors. There's a great work for every man of God that's ever called to preach. And it's up to us to find our place. First, to accept the call to start preaching. And then after you're in the way a little while, find where God wants you to go. That's all we can do is seek God's counsel and find His will in our lives. But it is a call from God, not of man. Another thing I want to look at tonight is deacons. I don't know if there's any deacons here tonight, but you can look over in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, and it talks about choose you out. He says, choose you out seven, whom are filled with the Holy Ghost and so on. And if you read that scripture, it don't say that they're called by God. He told the people there to choose you out. They chose the deacons themselves. But I believe God's in it. I believe the Lord should be in those selections. I believe when it comes time for deacons to be selected and ordained and set aside to that work, a deacon has a great work to do. I don't believe it should ever be taken lightly that I want to hold the title of a deacon. There's a lot of work that goes into it. But as you choose them out, you don't choose it out because it's your buddy or because they're just a good old boy or they're your friend or a family member. I believe you need to pray about it. I believe we need to pray about it and seek God's counsel and His will. And I believe He'll show those that need to be deacons. And I believe He works on both ends. I believe He'll let the man know on the other end that, yes, this work is for me. It may not be what I want. It may not be what I feel like I'm capable of. But once again, God's not going to lead us into something we can't do. I don't believe He will allow us. And I'm sure it's happened a lot ordaining men to be deacons, and they're not even capable of it and not even willing to do the job. They just want the title. I'm sure that's happened before. I don't think God is on the matter when that happens. But I believe that the office of a deacon, I believe it's a high calling as well. It's a great office of the church, a very important one. But listen, he talked about a lot of different things over there. And I want to, before I get any further, I want to go over here and look at some other scriptures I intended on reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now listen, he talks about some spiritual gifts over here. And there's a whole lot of verses I like to read, but I don't know if I'm going to read them all or not. I'll just go ahead and start and see how it goes. But listen, verse 1, he says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I mean, in other words, it's the same Spirit of God, but there's different gifts that God gives to us all, and we'll try to sort that out here in just a moment. He said, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of word of by the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And he goes on and talks about that the body is made up of many different members, and that not all members have the same obligation or the same job, if you will. And he goes on and he says that God has set every member, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And he goes on and talks about those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The comely word means beautiful or not as pretty when he says uncomely. But he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all members should have the same care for one another. Now, listen, he talked about the uncomely parts of the body and the comely parts. You know, as we look at the body, we look at somebody, us guys, we'll look at a woman and we'll admire her beauty. You got women may look at a man and see how handsome he is or whatever. You look at their facial features, the build of their body and those things. And just to look at the body, those are what we would say the more honorable parts of the body. That's what we look at. That's what's beautiful and pretty and handsome and so forth. But he talks about that we don't bestow no honor on the uncomely parts. But he said they're more important. And if just talking about our physical body here, what we would consider uncomely parts would be, you know, you look on the inside of the body, the liver, your lungs, and all these vital body parts that we have. Just to look at them, they're nasty, they're ugly, they're gross, or whatever, how you want to label it, and those things. But without them, you die. You gotta have them. You can cut this arm off or this leg. You can even take part of somebody's brain out, take a lung, just a different body parts off of it. You can sell it. You lose your kidneys, you lose your heart, you lose your brain, you lose whatever. You ain't going to live very long, or not at all. You got to have those uncomely parts. And so more honor should be bestowed upon them because they're vital. But all body parts, as he says, they all have their place. He's saying, the scriptures we read, he's saying we shouldn't put more honor on certain parts than we do others, but we do. That's what he's saying. He's saying we do that, but he's telling us that we shouldn't do that. Because he as we read there in your hearing, he said, because so there would be no schism in the body or no divisions in the body. Amen. And he's comparing that, our physical body, with the church. When you look at the church, you have a pastor. His name gets put on the sign in most churches. He's up here on this platform for everybody to see. And we look at him and think, boy, he's it. He's the main one of the church. But listen, the sign, the name on the sign don't mean nothing. That's just a choice of the church. But most church houses you go into, the pastor is raised up. But it's not to glorify him or honor him. It's so that he can be lifted up, that the word can be projected out, that everybody can hear what's being said. That's why we lift it up. It's for the sake of the word of God, not for the man. It's not to uplift the man, but it's to uplift the word of God. So don't think he's it. He's the church. Without him, we can't survive. When your last pastor left you, it took you a little while to elect Brother Barry, but you were still a church. The church was still surviving without a pastor. You can have a church without a pastor. Now, it may suffer if you go a long time, if you have different men coming in from time to time, and you don't have a steady voice up here, and the church will suffer over time, but it's still a church. I pastored, didn't have any deacons. Deacons, a lot of time, they're given a lot of honor because they've been ordained. They've got this title over their head. They've got a great work to do in the church. So there's something, but listen. Deacons are a man like anybody else that has a job to do like anybody else. We shouldn't put more honor and glory on them because they've got an office in the church that you don't have. Listen, the church is made up, it's a body of baptized believers. And everybody, when we go to a conference and we vote on something, I don't care if it's a little 8-year-old child that's a member of the church or a 90-year-old deacon, that little child's vote counts just like he is. Exactly the same. Amen. Everybody in the church is equally important. Everybody, you can say, well, because I sit in the back, because I don't have as much money in my pocket as them over there do, I'm not as important. But listen, if you're a member of this church, you're just as important as the next one up here, over there, or anywhere else. You're vital to this church. And it's just the same. You may think you're an uncomely part, and all these sitting up here is the comely parts, the more beautiful of the church, but listen, you're just as important. You've got a great work to do, and you need to find your place. But listen, we've all got a job to do. Not everybody can be a Sunday school teacher. You think, well, that's just something we can throw this on Sister So-and-so over here because she ain't got nothing to do. Well, let's give this to her. Well, maybe she ain't good at teaching people. If she's not good at teaching children, don't give that job to her. Teaching is very important. Teachers, Sister Tracy, she's a teacher, and I know a lot of teachers in the public. That's a very serious thing because you've got lives in your hand that if you teach them wrong, it's going to mess their life up from that step on. If you teach them the wrong thing. But when we come to church and we've got little children that's maybe lost or maybe they've just been saved and they got a lot to learn, and you throw a teacher at them that hadn't even opened their Bible up several years and don't know nothing about it, it's going to mess somebody up. And so I believe that's a great calling in itself. I believe that's a great work in the church to be a Sunday school teacher. It's a great gift to be a piano player. A great gift to be a song leader. You know, I think the song service nothing can take place of the preaching of the Word of God. But a song service is very important. You've been in services as I have where you go in and it's just dead as a door now. You think you're at a funeral home and then all of a sudden some good songs get sung and boy, the Spirit gets moving. Sometimes that's what it takes. And I don't think our song leaders and anybody else in the crowd should select songs because it's a pretty song or I like it. I think the Lord should be in everything. When we come to the house of God, He should be in everything. But listen, the day I got saved, there's a song in the, I believe it's that light blue song to remember, book number 3, I believe it is. It's when I step off on that beautiful shore, page 250, there's 3 pages of it. I know you all know that song very well. I've been going to church with Stacy from probably early 1990, and I got saved the summer of 91. And in that year and a half, we probably sung that song at least every other week, if not every week. And I sung it with them all the time. Didn't bother me one bit. But listen, that day I got saved, it was revival, the house was full, and there was a woman sitting on the very front row, and she got up and she did her job, what God called her to do for that moment in time, just that little space in time, to stand up and request that song, and there's not a doubt in my mind that the Spirit wasn't in every bit of that. That woman was tore all to pieces and crying, and she requested that song to be sung, and they started singing, and I tried to sing, and I couldn't. Because God let me know I wasn't going to step off on no beautiful shore. God made it real to me that I was lost and going to hell. And yes, Brother Otis and Brother Massey before him had preached to me. And I had heard the gospel. I knew I was lost. I knew what I needed to do. But the seed had been planted, but you know, that was just the watering. Just another drop of water. And as Paul talks about, I planted Apollos water. And that was just a little more water than the word that I'd already heard. And that woman did her part. They sung that song, and I couldn't sing it with them that day because I got in trouble. So the song service to me is very important. I believe it's very important. It has its place. So the piano player, the song leader, everybody that sings has a great part in the church. That's a part of our job. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And we talked about over there in the Corinthian letter about special gifts, spiritual gifts being given unto us. And listen, your job, you may not ever be a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. You may not ever play the piano or sing. But if you've been saved, I know you can pray. Because if you've been saved, you've prayed at least once in your life. That may be your job tonight. It may be your job next Sunday. Just pray for the preacher. Pray for the lost. Pray for the request, mate. Your job may be tonight to stand up and testify. Next Sunday, you may not get that job. You know, everything we do is a work for God. He talks about over there in the earlier part of the Ephesian letter, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He goes on, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, meaning the works comes after we're saved. And everything we do on behalf of the Lord is a work. It should be. It should be a labor of love. Labor is work. Everything we should do on behalf of God should be because we love the Lord. I don't think God wants to force any of us into submission, but He does sometimes because of force. We make it. Preachers run, and God has to get on to them and just bring them down to the point of death sometimes. And listen, that's just the way it is. We're stubborn human beings, and we have this flesh to deal with, as Paul talked about in Roman letter, chapter 6 or 7, wherever it's at over there, about the warfare between the spirit and the flesh. We all have that. Those of us that are saved, God calls us to do something. One time during revival, Brother Paul Bryson was helping us, and I was sitting there, and the Lord just, I felt like the Lord all led me, all I needed to do was go shake Brother Paul's hand. Didn't feel like I needed to say anything or nothing, just go shake his hand. And I debated on it for a few seconds or a few minutes or so, and I finally gave in. I went around there, shook that man's hand, and boy, I ain't shouted like that in a long time. It just, when you do what God asks you to do, you get blessed. And that's all He wants us to do, is do the little things. If He asks us to do big things, we'd never get nothing done because we can't do the big things. It's His job. But listen, just something as small as that. If I hadn't have done that, I'd have missed out on a blessing. I don't know if it helped anybody else out or not, but it helped me. And you see, when we don't do, when we don't walk worthy of our vocation that God calls us to do, not only we miss out on the blessings, but those around us miss out on them too. How many times have you just been sitting in your seat and just all of a sudden somebody gets to going and shouting and just praising the Lord or singing or whatever they're doing, and it runs off on you and you start to feel it, and it just I tell you, the spirit can be just like a brush fire. It can start in one little corner over here, and if you let it, it'll burn all over the whole house. It'll cover it up. The spirit will, and that comes from submitting to the Lord. And that's what we should always be willing to do. Lord, what would you have me to do today? And listen, I believe if we all find our call, a call I mentioned earlier about, I believe we all get a call, everybody that lives. You know, of course, little babies that don't ever reach the years of accountability, Of course, this don't include them. If a young baby dies, we know by reading the scriptures that the Lord takes care of them. We see that from David's little baby having Bathsheba. It went on to heaven to be with the Lord. And David said, "I can go too. He can't come to me, but I can go to him." But listen, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, he said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Everyone that ever reaches that age of accountability, when they get to that age that they're lost and separated from God, there's a call that goes out to them. It's our job to take the gospel to them. But that's the call they receive, is to repentance. There's no other call they can receive but the call to repentance. And they're drawn by the Spirit of God. I hear too many people say, I hope they're just saying it out there. They don't realize what they're saying. But I've heard too many people say that when I was lost, the Lord led me to the altar. Well, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that the Lord don't lead the lost anywhere. God draws the lost to the altar. The lost are not led to go anywhere. The Spirit don't lead the lost. But God draws them to an altar of repentance. And that's the call that they receive, is a call of repentance. But listen, if you want to read in Job over there, and I suppose I'll be done here in just a second, but the last call that any of us will ever get, saved or unsaved, if you read in Job, he says 14 and 15, he says, "Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee." He says, "For now thou numberest my steps." And in other words, death. There's going to be a call to death for us all one of these days if we live long enough. Now, if the Lord comes back while we're still alive, we won't have to suffer death. But this, we're all going to answer that call one of these days, saved or lost. Our steps is numbered. He knows our boundary out there. And we may think we can skip around it and jump over it or whatever. But listen, we can't win that battle. When God calls, there ain't going to be no argument. Lord, let me stay, Lord, this or that. But listen, when He calls, we're going to answer that. God may call you to repentance and you'll never answer, and you won't answer. And if you remain in that state, you'll burn in the devil's hell forevermore if you die in that state. God may call you to preach and you may run for the rest of your life. You don't have to answer. But listen, God will make you wish you had. That was a miserable week for me. And like I said, these men that went 1 year, 5 years, and my father-in-law, he went 24 years. And some even longer than that before they told their call to preach. But listen, you may not even answer that call. You may be called to testify in church. You may not answer that call, but you will answer this call. Every one of us will, if we live long enough. Or if the Lord lets time last long enough, is what I should say. But listen, that was our thought tonight about the call from God. There's different calls, and I'm sure there's a lot more than what I covered tonight. But I just beg that each and every one of you, as Paul said, "I beseech you." In other words, I beg you. I'm not ashamed to beg. I had to beg to be saved, and I want to beg you tonight to mind the Lord, answer His call, whatever it is, whether it's a short-term thing to just stand up and testify or sing or talk to the lost, whatever it is, or if He's called you to do something higher than called you to a specific job. Whatever that is, I beg you to answer that call. Don't put it off. I tell you what, when you follow the Lord, He didn't promise us it's going to be easy, but He did promise He'd always be with us. And He'll go with you every step of the way, whatever your call is. He'll be there with you from beginning to end. He said, "I'll never forsake you nor leave you," and He never has me. I find in the Bible where all those men and even women that followed Him from place to place, He never left them either. So that gives me hope. If I live to be 100, He's not going to leave me. He's going to stay with me the whole way. And so listen, He ain't going to lead you into nothing you can't handle. but just listen to the voice of God, and He's not going to lead you astray. But I tell you what, if you'll follow Him, even in the littlest thing, you're going to get blessed for it.
That's right.
And it's not only going to be you, it'll touch somebody else. It may be, you know, when I think about that, I think about Stephen. Stephen was one of the first ordained deacons, but he also preached the message. And of course, Paul heard that message. And as far as Stephen was stoned and killed, and he may not have known that little job he did, that message he preached, as far as he knew, it didn't accomplish anything. He got killed. But you see the work of what he did. Paul got saved. Paul heard it for a solid time. He heard that message. He got convicted. He got saved. And we read and preach and teach many of his writings today. You never know what little job you do. You may never see the results of it, but I guarantee you, if the Lord is in it, it's going to benefit somebody somewhere in some way, and it's going to have its effect on down through time. And it may be the smallest, littlest thing, but listen, it's got a purpose. But this is our message tonight. I thank you for your patience, and once again, I want to thank the church for allowing us to come this way. Took a little while to get here. Had to reschedule it a time or two, but that's all right. We're thankful to be here tonight. And I suppose that's it. God bless you. We love you. Thank you once again for allowing us to come. Remember us up there in your design, and we'll certainly try to pray for y'all here. Little Barry, I'll turn it over to you.
Let's all stand and let's have a Christian handshake. Shake his hand. Endorse the message. I like to endorse the message. The message of truth. He laid out that plain stuff. Plain stuff, wasn't it? If we did just exactly what he said, we'd all just be blessed. We'd all be blessed. I mean, if we did it, there's the catch to it. Do it. It's like you said. You just got to do what the Lord asks us to do.
Over. Turn to page number 99. I did no way. Bright and shining way, I'm in the glory.
Mr. Rowland did look for. Been a big good night. Appreciate it. Everybody that's come. Your brother Jackie, welcome anytime. Come back and visit. Preach for us. Enjoy this preaching. Amen. Always enjoy the church. Always enjoy the church. Nothing else to be said about it. What do I think? Just listen.
Church and pray, Lord, that many souls might be saved under his preaching. We ask, Lord, that you might go with